You're listening to For All the Saints, a ministry of All Saints Church, a community of faith on the campus of New Covenant Schools in Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm Jeremy Rowe. The Anglican way of faith and discipleship approaches our spiritual formation in a textured way. There is, of course, daily prayer directed by our prayer book, but there are also the disciplines of faith, such as works of charity, almsgiving, and fasting. Each week and on feast days, we celebrate the Eucharistic liturgy in which we become active participants in the passion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is also the weekly sermon, which is central to our life in Christ. Together with the sacrament of Holy Communion, the preaching of God's word is the way we receive Christ and his gift of life. At All Saints, this ministry is shared by our ministers, Father Davidson Morse and Father John Heaton. In today's recording, we join Father Davidson in progress.
Pentecost, Whit Sunday, is the feast of the birthday of the church. And so it is right for me to wish you all a happy birthday, all those who find themselves now made new in the Spirit of God and grafted into the very life of Jesus himself, now call themselves rightly the citizens of God's kingdom. We are his children, his friends, as Jesus reminded his disciples as he went away. They would no longer call him master, but he would call them brothers and friends. And so we all take our place in the great long history, the great long legacy of Christ Church here on earth. We continue on to fight in our own day against the world, the flesh, and the devil, but we are bound together mystically and irrevocably, inseparably, with those who have gone before us, because we have all received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, while of course Sadie and Nolan and Bree were all born a few years ago, it's right to say that they were born again today. Today is their birthday. And so we give them those candles and we invite them to light them again on next June 5th and the following June 5th and the following June 5th to remember how it was that they had a new birthday. Today is their birthday when they entered into Christ's fellowship. And notice how it is that in the great and mysterious moment, which was that first Pentecost, that they had candles too. It wasn't just a birthday like we experience, but they themselves were candles. The very fire of God lit upon their heads, and they looked around and saw the light of God shining upon their foreheads like tongues of fire. And there was wind that blew that day as well, although thankfully the wind didn't blow out their candles like we blow out candles on birthdays. But nonetheless, the wind and the fire blew, both signs of God's life-giving power, reaching out into the world to make new and alive the thing that was once dead and corrupt. And so we have candles on the church's birthday as well. Each one of us should retain that great commission that we gave to our new baptized Christians this morning to receive the light of Christ and to see that you keep it burning until the day that Christ appears. We, each one, are to be shining birthday candles all our lives long into a world that, as St. Paul describes, is dark and dying. We are to be the very light of Christ, the power of the Spirit in this world that God loves so much. So I want you to see that here on the Feast of Pentecost, it is appropriate that we baptize because it is on this day that we receive the Holy Spirit, that without the Spirit, the church is nothing. It is dead as the rest of the world is dead. But when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the church, it became alive and vibrant thing, the very body of Christ. For we see here in our gospel lessons appointed for the end of the Easter season that Christ promised that he would pour out his Spirit upon his disciples. And they didn't understand what he could possibly mean by that. All they wanted was for him to stay, for to be with them and to establish the kingdom long expected, the kingdom of David's rule. But he said no, that he must go away so a greater thing might happen for them and to them. And this, you see, the giving of the Holy Ghost is the fulfillment of Christ's promise to his disciples. But it's not simply that, but it's the consummation of Christ's ministry here on earth. While Christ himself departed into the heavens and reigns eternally in our flesh, this is the moment in which Christ's ministry and power, his life-giving salvation that he had won over the powers of sin and darkness and death, now are applied to the whole wide world by the power of God's Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that consummates all that Christ had said and all that he had done. But finally, we see that the sending of the Holy Spirit is the goal or result of all that God himself had looked forward to since the moment of Adam's fall. In those opening chapters of the book Genesis, we saw how God himself walked in the cool of the evening in the garden with his crowning creatures, man and woman. And he walked with them and talked with them and fellowshipped with them, and he was at peace with them. They were his friends, his son and daughter. They loved him and fellowshipped with him until they fell. But it's so often that we simply assume that, well, that was just a one-off thing and that God now is closeted away comfortably in his heavens, never to be bothered with us again down here, and that perhaps the great goal is for us to be whisked away out of here to some place where he is, called heaven. But I would offer to you this morning that the Feast of Pentecost is the sign and seal of exactly the contrary. That is, that God himself had always planned to take his home in the midst of the world that he made, that he loved, and that he now has rescued. That the very power and presence of God's own Spirit is that great and final promise, or the sign, the seal of that covenant that he had made to come and live in our midst eternally. So we find then that the giving of the Holy Ghost, inaugurating the church, her birthday forever and ever, comes rightly on the feast of Pentecost. It was, as we see, the ancient Jewish feast, 50 days after Passover. Passover, of course, the Christians celebrate on the great feast of Easter, but the Jews celebrated Passover, and 50 days after their Passover, celebrating being released from slavery in Egypt, they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. And that's literally what the word Pentecost means, 50 days. And we see in the Old Testament how it was that this feast celebrated two things. First of all, it was an agricultural feast. They celebrated the giving of the winter wheat harvest. We see, if we take a look out in the fields today, if we have any interest in agricultural things, we see in our own commonwealth those green sprouts springing up of those crops of winter wheat that the farmers laid by back in the fall, and now it has sprung to life. So the same was true in ancient Israel as well. So the giving of the first produce of the land, the Jews celebrated at the Feast of Pentecost. But not simply that, but they celebrated the giving of Torah, God's law, upon Mount Zion, that it was the great giving of his word to his people, which was to be the moment that brought Israel out of that life of slavery into new life as God's own people. And so the end of the wheat harvest and the giving of the Torah to Israel, each one of these pointed forward to the great and mysterious truth, which was a harvest, not of food, but of people. A harvest of souls. God's kingdom here on earth, breaking forth out of the confines of his own people into the nations around the world. God desiring that all men might be redeemed. And so we see then that these two great moments were confirmed in both the Feast of Easter and Pentecost. We see the Gospel of John opening with John the Baptist proclaiming about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who has taken away the sins of the world." And now we see how it is that that sin might be finally defeated in our midst because of the Holy Spirit being poured out into our hearts. The law was given to Israel, but now the Spirit has been given to the church, guaranteeing a full harvest of souls as a result of the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. St. Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, said that the Feast of Pentecost was the culmination of all of the great hopes of the Feast of Jubilees. Perhaps you might remember that Sabbath of Sabbaths. Every 7 days the Jews were to give to rest from their work, and every seventh year they were supposed to put away all work and rest a whole year. But the seventh seven, the 49th into the 50th year, was supposed to be the Uber Sabbath, the Super Sabbath, in which all debts were forgiven, all slaves set free, and all native or family lands were to return to their original owners. This great moment of freedom in the Feast of Jubilee, and Augustine says, here at the Feast of Pentecost, we see the fulfillment of God's promises to his people, that the Spirit of God has been poured out on the church. Death no more reigns in our midst, and now we have been truly set free. So it is right that we celebrate the giving of the Holy Ghost upon the ancient Feast of Pentecost. But the Spirit is also poured out not simply upon the day of Pentecost, but upon the apostles and all who stood with them together that day in the upper room. The Spirit itself is the Spirit of unity. It is that power of love of God that joins all those who have faith in Jesus together. The ones that Jesus had called, his apostles, his disciples, the ones that he had promised in those closing chapters of the Gospel of John, "I will pray to the Father, and he will give to you the Comforter." Now the Spirit has come and has truly bound them together. It is the Spirit not of division, but it is the Spirit of unity. We see how this is already described in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37, in which we see the vision of the valley of dry bones, the dead bones symbolizing the people of Israel far away in exile in Babylon. But the Spirit of God comes upon the prophet and asks him, "O son of man, what do you see?" And he says, "I see a valley filled with men's dead bones." And he says, "Speak to the bones." And when the prophet Ezekiel spoke to the bones, they were joined together, but they were still not alive. And the Spirit told him to speak again, and he spoke, and they were covered in sinews and in muscles and in skin, but yet still not alive. And the third time, the prophet spoke to these bodies and they were raised from death to life, an army standing before to serve the living God. You see, my friends, the Spirit that came down upon the church is the Spirit of life, and it is the Spirit of unity. And so it is right we see that the apostles were all together. They were all together in one place. They were not divided. It's an error. It's a terrible mistake that anyone would say that we can simply be in God's family on our own, that we can simply throw a prayer here off to the heavens and then go about our business as though we have no connection to anyone or any other thing. No, the spirit or character of unity is exemplary here in the Feast of Pentecost. The Spirit falls upon the apostles, and they were all speaking and living and acting as one. They were one in love for God, one in love for one another, and one in love of the faith that had been committed to them by their Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, the Apostle Paul can write to the Ephesians that we are one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. The Spirit that poured out upon the church is the spirit of unity. And it is a sad travesty that we see the church of God round the world divided by so many different commitments, so many emphases on things that do not matter, and instead uphold their own distinctiveness against the other, when Jesus himself to his apostles said that he wished that all of the saints would be unified in love of him and of the Father. You see, my friends, the way of the Spirit is not the way of individuality, but the way of the Spirit is of unity and in love of one another. But I would also show you this morning that the Spirit not only came on Pentecost, and not just that it came all together in unity, but the Spirit came suddenly. The Spirit comes as a gift of God. It's not something that we generate in ourselves. The Holy Spirit does not come from one of us, but the Spirit of God comes from God himself. It comes suddenly upon them as a gift directly to us. And so it is right that we celebrate baptisms here on Pentecost, because baptism is just that. It is a gift of God to the candidate, the little child or the old man who comes to faith late in life. Each one receives the Spirit of God in the same way, as a gift. Baptism does not signify what we say about God. Baptism says what God says about us. He loves us and wishes to give himself to us. And so we see that like a wind, like fire, it goes where it wills and it goes when it wills, and signifies to us God's power to change the world, not simply to do what we like, but instead like fire to melt the cold, dark hearts of those who are trapped in sin, to set ablaze the minds of those who had walked once in darkness, like fire to purge us from the corruptions of sin, and like the fire, also setting prophets and saints ablaze in holy zeal. Each one of us caught fire and burned together in the life of Jesus, the resurrected King. Today is our birthday, but we as Anglicans on Pentecost, I think, feel a bit itchy. We know that there are people out there that really emphasize the Holy Spirit. In fact, they emphasize the Holy Spirit so much, they name their particular congregation after this feast. They're known as Pentecostals. And we as Anglicans get kind of nervous when we start talking about things like that. But we shouldn't give away the Feast of Pentecost just because of the fact that we aren't comfortable about the way that Pentecostals or some so-called Spirit-filled churches worship God. Of course, this particular emphasis is not new. It's not just simply finds its origin in the 20th century. No, we see this tradition of going towards that individual expression of ecstasy all the way through the history of the church. But certainly, this kind of ecstatic self-expression is a spirit of our age, that kind of individualism that says, if I like it, it must be good. Of course, we don't believe that that is true. But instead, we should be confident in this, the Feast of Pentecost, even as traditional Christians, even as Anglicans, that the Spirit that we celebrate, the Spirit that we say that our young children just received, is not the spirit of chaos, but instead is the spirit of power and of order. It is the Spirit that hovered over the deep in Genesis chapter 1 that brought order out of chaos. It was not the deep and untold chaos of the ancient world that continued. No, the Lord, by the power of his Spirit, brought water out of water and then land from water. He separated each one into its own place and then populated each one with animals and birds and fish. And finally, the greatest of his creation, man and woman. The Spirit that we celebrate is the Spirit of order, of creation, and yes, of resurrection. That ultimate corruption, death, now has been defeated by the power of the Spirit. Yes, on that first day of Pentecost, the apostles experienced charismatic fervor. Yes, but we see at the end of that very same chapter in the Acts of the Apostles that the lasting result of the power of the Spirit upon them, Luke writes in his history, he says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. You see, the power of the Spirit is the power of order and is the power of truth. And we celebrate the Spirit of truth this day, even as Jesus in our gospel lesson said to his apostles, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Do we have the Holy Spirit? Amen. We should say, yes, amen. We have the Holy Spirit. But we say with all of the church, throughout all of the ages, that we have the Spirit of life, not one of confusion. We have the Spirit of truth, not one of individuality. We have the Spirit of God falling out upon the church, bringing us to life, not life of our own imagination, but the life that is the gift of God to all those who have faith in his Son, Jesus. Happy birthday to you all. Happy birthday and a full harvest, a harvest of life, a harvest of souls, a harvest of people devoted to the gospel, preached throughout all of the ages, and a celebration of God's own Spirit, a Spirit of order out of chaos, remaking us, yes, and the whole creation. Amen.
You've been listening to For All the Saints, a ministry of All Saints Church. If you would like to learn more about the Christian life in the Anglican way, we invite you to join our community each Sunday at 9 a.m. in the Marie McDonald Chapel on the campus of New Covenant Schools, located at 122 Fleetwood Drive in Lynchburg. Or you may visit us on the web at www.allsaintschurchlynchburg.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeremy Rowe.